Welcome to the PDL's official podcast, hosted by me, the commissioner and the owner of the Delco Dreamers, Tommy Yu, and...
I'm Darren from the Carolina Thunder. It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready for us to get off topic as possible.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the PDL official podcast. And this one's a big one because Darren, finally, it happened, the NFL draft. Let's talk about it right at the top. He's more organic. What did you think of it? Did it live up to expectations? I know you say you probably weren't going to watch day three anymore, but did you catch any of the day three? I just want everything. What was your reaction to the draft?
Honestly, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I was like, this is kind of going all chalk. There wasn't any craziness. Like, people were hyping it. Like, insiders were like, the first top 10 picks could be crazy.
Fair. Pick number 8 was wild.
Well, yeah, that was Atlanta. Very confusing. Not that I even think it was, like, that horrible of a pick in a vacuum. But knowing that they gave Kirk Cousins $180 million like 6 weeks ago, it just makes it absolutely absurd.
In the age of the player and like how the contract is structured, so it's almost guaranteed that he sits a year or two. So it's wild when you really start to look at all the context.
It's like being like 35 years old and taking out the most expensive life insurance policy that you can afford. Just because, like, you think there's a slim chance that you might die at some point, but you're perfectly healthy. You got another 50 years expected to live, but it's like you're really, really banking on making sure that everything's good.
Yeah, what we're talking about, which we'll just kind of put a little bit more context. Talk about Atlanta taking Michael Penix Jr. at 108, or sorry, 8th overall pick. I'm talking in dynasty context always, right? In the first round, 8th overall, which is wild because this is a team that projects to be pretty competitive, feisty, especially after getting Kirk Cousins. Their offense is absolutely loaded with multiple first rounders. All they have to do is what a lot of people thought would be kind of put a defense together, you know, maybe improve that secondary, their cornerbacks, which they didn't really do, which is kind of wild. But anyway, before we jump into the full reactions and things like that, which we kind of already did a little bit, there was a huge trade, Darren, that went down the PDL. This is a trade. I'll call it the MSC special. I feel like there's always a little bit of hype when Max's trades go down, but this one was teased for how long, Darren? Like a week or something?
I feel like it was like a week. It was about a week at least. It was, 4 or 5 days, I would say, at minimum.
And then it finally culminated, and then it dropped. And then what are we referencing right now?
So we had an Oregon pipeline trade, Max and Welch. Max received Nico Collins in a second. He's pairing up with CJ Stroud.
Got a stack. Yep. Got a stack at MSC.
Everyone strives and aspires to get, especially with a quarterback that looks as good as CJ Stroud. You want one of their weapons. And then he sent away his own 2026 first, 2026 third, and Jeff's 2026 second. So swapping seconds there, and then getting a first and a third for Welch's side.
All right. Now that we had some time to let it simmer, for me, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to take it because my first takeaway wasn't the fact that Nico Collins was going to Murfreesboro Empire. I'm sure we'll definitely cover that part of the trade, or at least I'll cover that part of the trade shortly. But what I want to focus on right now is the Dallas drip. They just made a huge trade, they just made a trade to get a bunch of veteran running backs because that's kind of the only piece that they were really missing to get really competitive. And as we know, the Dallas trip has been undergoing like a 3-year rebuild of some sort, some would say. And it finally looked like he was going to make this push because he absolutely has all the pieces to be able to put together to be able to make this at least a playoff push. And once you punch your ticket into the playoffs, Aaron, you would know as much as anyone, then you could get to the big dance and win it all, right? And so it looked like that was the direction that Welch was trending, and then all of a sudden he now pivots away Nico Collins. I don't know, is that him extending the window yet again? I'm not really sure how to read into this. So before we read this into Max's side, what are your thoughts onto Welch's side?
I agree, because At what point are you going to just keep an asset and try and use them to secure some wins and win games? Because it's not like Nico Collins is old, he's 25.
And getting a first round pick is very, very
It's
heralded.
like he's not shipping off an older guy. Like, it's not like he's trading away on, there's no slight to you, but it's not like he's trading away Stephon Diggs, another CJ Stroud receiver, right? Like, he's trading away his younger, on the younger side, the only guy that's younger than him is Tank Dell of his top three. So, the
Absolutely.
thing with me though is Nico Collins is currently slated to be a free agent. I think most people expect him to be re-signed by Houston, but to this point, he has not been yet. So, who's to say they don't pick Stephon Diggs and re-sign him, who is also slated to be a free agent, and let Nico Collins walk? That is a possibility. I'm not saying it's the most likely one, but it is a possibility. So maybe we'll just notice something we don't, and they let Nico walk because he's going to be projected to be more expensive, I would think. And they re-sign Stephon Diggs, and then Nico Collins lands somewhere, where we would all be miserable about it. But I don't really expect it to happen. I expect them to let Stephon Diggs walk and re-sign Nico Collins.
I mean,
But in
even if
that
that's the
case,
case, I think Welch should still be interested in how everything falls because at the end of the day,
yeah.
it was kind of a second round swap, like you mentioned, and getting a first in the PDL is very difficult to do, especially now as, the movement of owners kind of stopped. This is the first offseason where we haven't had to replace a team, which is a great shout out to the PDL, but first round picks are pretty hard to come by, but the first round pick that he got was Max's, and he definitely projects to be one of the better teams, always fighting for a championship. So it definitely is a late one, too. And so even if you look at the late rounds of this year's upcoming draft, right? One of the most heralded, one of the most hyped, one of the deepest at wide receivers, everyone says, and kind of look at the wide receivers that you look down there, and Nico has already had this breakout. I don't know. To me, I'm just looking at the trajectory of where Welch is going, and I would think that that's Nico is exactly what he would want. So he has DeVonta Smith. He just got re-signed. Like it's slowly baking, right? We all kind of think he's going to take a quarterback in this upcoming rookie draft, and if he hits with that, everything is kind of coming together. But now it kind of pushes him back a little bit more, where he's kind of like, all right, now I hope to get another wide receiver that's going to produce now, because once again, the common theme of a lot of our podcast episodes of is how important depth is. So this is just a really long-winded way of saying, I definitely think if, this, I wouldn't even say fantasy, but this projection that you mentioned about Nico maybe not being re-signed with Houston, if that comes true, then yeah, absolutely getting ahead of it, fantastic. But still, even if it were to come true, Nico has still proven already in the that he can do it in the NFL and had that, what, third year breakout, fourth year breakout, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. So now let's jump over to Max's side, because now Max is able to get definitely more firepower, right? Nico, that stack, that's going to be really, really fun, especially with how high powered this offense is projected to be right now. I feel like Max has a lot of pieces of this Houston offense. He has just so much working with him right now. I feel like the vibes in Murphy Street Empire is definitely going well, because was it last offseason where I feel like almost every turn Murphy Street Empire, so it's like something unfortunate happened to them. So I'm really glad to see Max is having a much more exciting offseason this time around. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And to me, my personal opinion, if say Nico does re-sign the deal, like say it's a 4-year, I don't know, $100 million contract, whatever. I really like it for Max's side. If Nico leaves, then I probably like it for Welch's side, because when free agent receivers leave, they usually just chase the money, they go somewhere bad. So it kind of just depends on if and when he re-signs this contract. It's like when it actually you're able to decide who got the better end, in my opinion. But for Max, he's probably feeling really good about it, because we all know how much he loves CJ Stroud, because he's
Dude,
posting about
he's
CJ Stroud
reposting
in
like his
fantasy chats.
opinions of players. He's like, this is gospel. This player is going to be good now. I'm like, wow, this is everything about CJ Stroud now, huh?
Any chance you get is about CJ Stroud. So I mean, like, I, as everyone knows, last rookie draft, I did my very best to make sure that I got Anthony Richardson instead of CJ Stroud. Personally, I still like I know I saw the rookie season that CJ Stroud had. I would still personally rather have Anthony Richardson because I see a path to him being the overall quarterback one. And I just don't know how CJ Stroud can get there because he does not move. And he literally even said he was like, I tried running, not doing it anymore. So I just don't think that like a quarterback like that, like you can get
I
to
mean,
overall
Anthony
quarterback
Richardson
one.
should take a page out of that book a little bit too, though, right?
I
He tried
agree. He should
running.
run
He should
less.
also run less, but that's always going to be a part
Or
of
be
his
more
repertoire,
strategic,
obviously.
maybe.
Yeah,
Like
no. Completely get that. Just don't be like Jaden Daniels rookie or his past year in the
yeah,
college
his
football because I feel
college
like he got lit
highlight
up. I feel
smash
like
hits.
every single game he got lit up like three times. But anyway, that wraps up the huge, huge monumental trade. But one more takeaway from this trade that I want to focus on Max aside is he did get a second. He is now in this upcoming draft. He was not in it at all. And now he lands right in the middle of the second round. That's sitting kind of pretty. He's going to be able to pick up a pretty solid piece, wouldn't you think, Darren?
Yeah, I think so because I think to me, from looking at it, I think around like after we know all the landing spots and everything, I think around the 206, 207 is like where the guys start to drop, at least in my opinion, of there's like a tier break after that point to the next round of guys.
Yeah, so being able to buy in, not just to Nico, and then maybe hopefully being able to pick up another contributing piece, things are pointing up for Murphy Street Empire right now. So wouldn't be surprised if at the end of next season, Murphy Street Empire is holding up their second championship, and we're looking back at this trade specifically and saying it was the stack, it was who we got in the second round pick. This really set up the pieces for that championship run. So, with all that being said, let's finally jump in to the 2024 NFL draft recap. And kind of like what you were saying, Darren, were you saying you're a little disappointed on how kind of how everything felt? Because, like you said, it was kind of cookie cutter. Maybe outside of what Atlanta did, there wasn't anything that was overly crazy.
No, I mean, I was surprised of the all the guys that were went into the first round. I was surprised by the Brock Bowers pick a little bit by the Raiders. I was surprised by the Michael Penix pick a lot. That was very confusing to me. Ricky Pearsall a little bit because I thought that he was more like I thought he was going to go in the second round. I liked him, but I thought he was going to go in the second round. And then
Bo Nix
Leggett,
wasn't a
he went.
surprise to you?
Bo Nix, no. I thought that they were going to try and trade back a little bit and take Bo Nix because I thought 12 was a little high, but I
That
thought
I
they were
guess that
going to
was
take
my
him.
only thing, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were going to take him. So like my thing is nobody wanted to trade up there at 12, so they were like, fuck it, we're going to take him here. So I was like,
I mean, Sean Payton did compare him to Patrick
Sean Payton does whatever he
Mahomes,
wants.
so he was
Sean
just
Payton
like,
does
yep,
whatever he
this is how it's
wants.
going to go. But yeah, overall, I feel like the entire draft was very interesting, but kind of that. I mean, we're essentially draft vets now, right? Me and you have been texting back and forth on every single draft since we're in high school. And I feel like every single year, a lesson that we've learned is the anticipation, the mocks, the euphoria, everything leading up to the draft is amazing. And then the actual draft itself, it's not that it's disappointing, it's still fantastic. It just doesn't go according to the rose-tinted glasses plan that everyone had in front, right? Like when
Yeah.
everyone has a mock draft, everyone tears people. No, there's no fucking way Michael Penix goes top 10 to, like, are you crazy? And then it happens, and everyone's like, oh wow, it happened. And then other people are like, wow, yeah, if I ever put that in my mock draft, I would have been just destroyed, right? And so with that being said, this first round was absolutely as advertised to me. It was littered with offensive players, right?
Yep, it totally was. I think there were six wide receivers that were drafted in the first round, six quarterbacks, obviously, and
Seven wide receivers. I just
seven
counted.
wide receivers and six quarterbacks, and then obviously the tight end, Brock Bowers. No running backs this year, as we all
Yep.
expected.
And all those offensive linemen, of course, as well. But right off the top, let's just talk about just the quarterbacks to go off because this was historic. This was the most quarterbacks to ever go in the top 12 picks. Caleb Williams obviously goes over to Chicago. Jaden Daniels goes over to the Washington Commanders. Drake May at the third pick overall goes to the New England Patriots. Then, as the shocker goes, Michael Penix goes over to Atlanta Falcons, as we already discussed. Minnesota is able to trade up, I believe, just to what, a single pick? Is that what they did? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was because Las Vegas might have been.
They just did it just to secure it. But yeah, they traded up one pick, 10th overall. J.J. McCarthy goes over there. And then last but not least, Bo Nix, like we just mentioned, going over Colorado. So with all of that landing spots out of the way, Darren, which are your favorite and which is your least favorite?
I mean, is it a cop-out to say that my favorite is Caleb Williams to Chicago? I think he just set up very, very well there to succeed. My least favorite is, gotta say, Michael Penix, I think, just because there's a high likelihood he doesn't play for at least a minimum of 1 year, maybe two. I think after that second year, it's probably his job because Kirk only has the guaranteed money for those first two seasons, and I think after that, they'll probably just let him, they'll just release him or trade him. I don't think that it's going to be any longer than that, in my opinion, but I could be wrong. But I think the only way, like, so when this happened with Aaron Rodgers, he won the MVP in back-to-back seasons, right? So the only way he keeps his job, in my opinion, is if he wins the MVP either this year or next year. And if he falls short of that, unless they win a Super Bowl, if he falls short of that, he's gone. That's just what I think. Like, I think that they're 2 years, you better do something really, really good, or you're out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with both your opinions on best and worst landing spots. So I guess I'll frame it in a more exciting question. Let's look at the two quarterbacks we haven't talked about. The quarterback that went at 2 and 3. If you're the Washington Commanders, do you think they made the right call going Jaden Daniels?
I personally would have went Drake May, but I can understand why they went Jaden Daniels. I just think that Drake May, if you have the upside of somebody that could potentially be a Justin Herbert or a Josh Allen, I would prefer to go that. If you think you can get that out of him, which it seems that the Commanders did not think that they could do, that's why they passed. But it seems like all the teams, like the Giants, the Vikings, the teams that wanted to trade up for a quarterback, they were trying to get Drake May, not Jaden Daniels. Maybe because that they knew that he was locked in there at the second pick and they weren't trading that. But I think after the Patriots took Drake May, then the Vikings were totally confident that J.J. McCarthy was just going to fall to them. Like, they were like, yeah, we're not going to trade up. Like, they were like, yeah, it's fine. So I think that, like, after I saw that, I was like, oh, they wanted Drake May. They didn't give a shit about
it. Do you think
they were
sweating a little bit when the Giants were on the board at 106 when J.J. McCarthy was there as well? And they're like, oh, man.
I don't think so. I think if they were, they would have traded up to 5.
I
think if they were, they
would have. I mean, they could have tried. You're not saying that they didn't try, right?
I think if they did try, they would have successfully done it because I think that the rumors about the Chargers wanting to trade out of 5 were probably true because they took an offensive tackle, which there was plenty of them in this draft. And I know Joel was the best one, but if you're getting, I don't even know who won 11, Pashanu, like something like that.
But what if they really wanted Malik Nabers and then they're afraid that Chicago was going to take Malik Nabers?
The Chargers?
Oh, sorry. I said Chicago. Sorry. I thought I meant Chicago. When they took Roma Dunze at 109. Like, what if they're afraid to trade back? And I'm talking about the Giants, so they have to stay put and they didn't give up to Minnesota because they didn't want to trade back all the way to 10 because then they didn't think they could get Malik Nabers at 10.
Yeah. I think if they really wanted to get J.J. McCarthy earlier than when they got him, I think they would have. I just don't think that they saw him in the same tier as Drake May. I think that they saw, and that, which I think played out there because literally Michael Penix went ahead of J.J. McCarthy. So they were like, yeah, we're good. Like, we're just going to hang back here. And if he falls to us, he falls to us. They moved up one spot and gave up a 4th-round pick to move up one spot. Like, that's how concerned that they were that they weren't going to get J.J. McCarthy. So I think that they were good. They wanted Drake May, but I think that Jane Daniels, in my personal opinion, 101, 102, and rookie drafts should be those same two quarterbacks, Caleb Williams and Jane Daniels. I think after that, there is a discussion though, because I think you could argue because of the situation he's in, even though I think Drake May is better, I think you could argue that you would take JJ McCarthy over Drake May because he is paired with Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson. Like, he has Kevin O'Connell as his head coach. Drake May doesn't really have any of those luxuries. He has Gerard Mayo as his
But
head
we all
coach.
know how fast things change, Darren. You
They do change very, very
can't
fast, but the
just do
head coach.
surface level things that all other podcasts are saying. Literally in like half a year, everything can be different.
It can.
In one
Like,
off
when we saw that with
season,
CJ Stroud.
everything can
We saw that
change.
with CJ Stroud.
So I think right now it's very easy to look at, open up a book, look at the paper and look at that chart and be like, yep, according to this, this is how it can go. I completely agree. But I think when it's all said and done, it's really gonna. I think the landing spots and the order and the draft capital spent on the order of these quarterbacks is gonna make dynasty rookie drafts really, really interesting, right, Darren? So I think that's going to be interesting because I know Welch is gonna be on the clock to take a quarterback. I know there's going to be a lot of people probably in the PDL that are going to be looking for maybe securing a QB2 or maybe even their franchise quarterback in this draft. I know Tanish is going to be super excited locking in Caleb Williams. Do you think it's going to be the fastest draft pick of all times?
As long as he's awake and ready to go, I think so.
Yeah, that's just going to be locked
But
in.
I think that Tanish could realistically come out of this draft. Like, he has no quarterbacks right now. I guess if you can consider Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell a quarterback, he has that. But other than that, he has nothing. So I think in this draft class, because of the picks he has 111, 201, and 101, obviously, there's a chance he comes out of this with three first round quarterbacks with those picks. Like, I think that's very realistic for him to come out of this draft with those guys. Those guys being Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. I think that that would be literally team changing for Tanish there. I think that it's very possible, and I'm not sure that he is going to do this, because I think a lot of people are kind of soured on Penix because you have to wait for him for a year or two. But Tanish, now that we know he's rebuilding, he might be like, yeah, sign me up. I'm perfectly fine getting 0 points from this first round
You're
quarterback for
telling me I could
the
suck and then get a
next
quarterback later? All
year
right.
or two. You're telling me I can get a first round quarterback when I want to win? Sounds great.
Yeah, and worst comes to worst, then I could just trade him later then, even if he doesn't fit on my roster kind of thing. And so yeah, I totally see that. So before we move over to wide receiver, there is one more quarterback, which is Bo Nix. I feel like we didn't talk about him a lot, but it looked like Sean Payton was pretty interested in him. Do you think that's just by default of where Denver was and who he thought he'd be in range for? Or do you think he actually liked Bo Nix that much?
I think he actually liked Bo Nix, because Sean Payton only really likes experienced quarterbacks. Bo Nix is the most experienced college quarterback of all time. I think
That like
he
is the biggest checkbox for him, and he's just like, oh my, he is so experienced.
I think he saw Oregon's offense this past year and was like, yeah, that's pretty similar to what I do. So I think that he is like, I can work with him. I can make him work here in Denver. So I think that's what his thought process was. So he was like, I'm sure he knows that 112 was a little high, but he was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just going to take him because I can do whatever I want anyway. So I think that
Not
he
just
is
that, he
going
saw the
to.
Oregon offense, like, kind of looks like what I do. So let me take the quarterback and t let me take the receiver on this team and then just
Yeah,
bring
I'll
him
take
over
Troy
here.
Franklin too.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he
But
did. So, but I think because of where Bo Nix landed, this is a great landing spot for Bo Nix because of how much his head coach believes in him. Because if he landed in any other spot, it would probably be like, oh, it could be a position battle at camp, blah, 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 blah. But it's almost.
You're not worried about Zach
Yeah,
Wilson?
no, yeah. Oh, no, definitely, definitely worried about Zach Wilson and that news. Did you see he has like a new beard and stuff like that too? He looks like he was
Did
born.
not see he has a beard.
Dude, it looks awful. It looks terrible. But
I didn't think he was able to grow a beard. I didn't think that he had that in him.
Oh, maybe when you see it, you'll believe in it. He looks like someone
Oh,
who just lives in Denver, Colorado now. So he kind of fits in real quick. But no, I feel like just the kind of belief, draft capital especially, that's behind Bo Nix, it couldn't be any better for him. So I feel like that's definitely going to boost his stock as well. So maybe it's a little bit of foreshadowing for later in this episode there, but I feel like Bo Nix going surprisingly early in the NFL draft might foreshadow something that might happen in the PDL draft. So with that being said, let's talk about your favorite position group there, wide receiver. So how surprising was the, I guess, order in which the wide receivers came off the board for you?
I mean, the top three were pretty self-explanatory, I
Yep,
think.
consensus.
Then Brian Thomas right there, four. He was pretty much consensus. Xavier Worthy to some people was surprising, but I think that was
I mean, when
normal.
you look at the team he went to, you're like, all right, yep, checks out.
Yeah, makes sense. Checks out. He's basically the same fit. Like, he's a DeSean Jackson lookalike. He is very similar to his teammate, Hollywood Brown. Ricky Pearsall, Leggett were the next ones. Leggett was rumored to be taken at 33. He went 32 instead. So big difference there.
I guess the
Keon
biggest
Coleman,
surprise was
Ly
San
McConkey.
Francisco, right?
I think so. I think San Francisco taking Ricky Pearsall round one was the because they have Deebo and Ayuk already, and they didn't trade either of them still. So I think to me that was the biggest surprise there. Like I was little shocked. I was like, huh. Because I
So.
expected that once they drafted him, they were going to trade one or the other, and they still to this day have not. So.
So San Francisco spent the 31st pick overall on Ricky Pearsall, and then they spent an additional fourth round pick. I believe it was like one of the last picks in the fourth round on wide receiver Jacob Cowing as well. I'm not saying, oh man, let's try to read the tea leaves and what this all means, but I feel like the fact that they retained Deebo and Ayuk still, and then went ahead and drafted these other wide receivers, it could be for depth. But it could also maybe mean that one of these could be out the door. And I feel like if you are kind of listening to what is kind of happening, it's kind of, it looks like it's indicating more Debo than anyone else there. And I know you have Debo, so maybe you have been following this a little bit closer than I have. So can you shed a little bit of light onto this?
Well, yeah, when the day after they drafted Pearsall, like the morning before round two started, they were like, oh yeah, like he's gonna be traded probably to Buffalo. And I was like, oh, that's sick. I would love that. And then they were like, it's between Buffalo and New England. I was like, oh, less sick. That's not quite as great. But then he didn't move, and I was like, okay, I'm good with this. It's fine. But I think now maybe it's like more of a succession plan maybe from Debo. Because I think that they can move on from him after the season pretty easily. So I think maybe Pearsall is kind of learning the ropes. This is his doghouse year with Shanahan. He figures out how to play. And then next year, they give Ayuk the big contract. Pearsall is the wide receiver two. And then
Murray's
they
got to
go
get a
from there.
contract too soon, right?
They could use more three wide receiver sets too in San Francisco. They don't really do it a lot, but they could use more three wide receiver sets. If you have Pearsall, Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle on the field. I
With
mean,
Christian McCaffrey.
with Christian McCaffrey at running back, that's Brock Purdy's wet dream.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like the landing spot for Ricky Pearsall makes it really, really interesting. I know we just talked about the order, so let's also talk about their landing spot. Marvin Harrison Jr. does go over to Arizona, fourth overall, very first wide receiver off the board. And I feel like Arizona pretty much made it very apparent that they were going to be taking a wide receiver because of how that offense was structured, right? They pretty much got rid of everyone. They had a major, major need there. So now he gets hooked up with Kyler Murray. So this has to be pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, I think this is a great landing spot. He's clear cut wide receiver one in this class, as
And he's
he
going to be
always was.
fed.
Yeah, it's big time. It's literally him, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, and Trey McBride. So there's a clear drop from him to Trey McBride, and then the other two guys are just ancillary pieces, in my opinion. So I think Marvin Harrison could be a wide receiver one in his rookie season, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it happen before. So then we jump over to Malik Nabers going over to the Giants, and I feel like a lot of people are mocking this as well. What are your thoughts on this landing spot?
I mean, poor guy is miserable. You can see that he is miserable that he has to play with Daniel Jones and all the
Did
press
you see that
conferences
interview?
after. Oh my God, he looks so disappointed. I think he thought he was going to be playing with Justin Herbert, and he got stuck with Daniel Jones instead. And he is clearly not happy about it. So I think that, it's probably only 1 year he has to deal with it, but it's going to be a rough year, I think. That he's still going to get a shit ton of targets. Like, he's going to get a lot of looks. Will they be completed? Will they be on target? Will the passes be near him that he's able to catch them? I'm not
Not
sure.
just that, but like the way I think about it is kind of some of my concerns that I had pre-draft. I love Malik Nabers, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But him landing in the Giants already have a bunch of like players that would play in the position that Malik Nabers would play, like kind of in the slot. Malik Nabers could definitely play outside as well. But like if you look at all the other wide receivers that the New York Giants have, they're kind of playing that same similar-ish role. So I don't really know what they're trying to build here. But worse than that, a good development for Malik Nabers has to be a competent offense, right? A competent offense means, having more downs to develop to be able to run routes. The New York Giants right now doesn't project to be a very good offense. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to make a lot of great first down plays. Not just that, kind of like what you just said, Daniel Jones, of course, maybe they'll be able to unlock a little bit more with Brian Daboll there, but the targets on Malik Nabers might not be that great. He's now playing in a division where the Eagles just got a bunch of different players on the secondary, and they're definitely having something to prove on the defense because how they essentially melted down last year. So hopefully they can upgrade there. But Dallas, as we know, obviously, has a pretty solid defense as well. So it's like they're playing in a division where we have watched NFC East football forever, Darren. And it's kind of like the Big Ten, right? It's just very ugly football when we play each other. Maybe not as much as lately because of how much the NFL has evolved. So maybe I'm thinking a little bit too old school. But I feel like just the way that it goes, Malik Nabers is going to definitely have those explosive plays. But I'm also worried about him because of how much he's going to be needed, especially with the draft capital spent. But I feel like for, I mean, fantasy, that's what you want, right? Someone that pretty much gets all the time, especially now with some rumors coming out with, wait, is Darren Waller retired? Is he not retired? I feel like the target share is absolutely going to be there for him, even though it's going to be coming from, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Odell Beckham was the best rookie wide receiver ever with Eli Manning. So, and that was late career Eli Manning. So he was probably just about as good as Daniel Jones. So I don't really think that the quarterback matters that much when you're going to be fed 150 targets. I think that if he is efficient enough and he can do the same things that he did in college, break like 50-yard touchdowns, he'll be fine in fantasy football, which I still think he can do. He'll just have to, deal with it for one season because I don't really think that Daniel Jones is going to be there after this year.
Did you hear Malik Nabers called Daniel Jones Janiel Dones?
Yes, he doesn't even care to know his name. He is just, he hasn't even got there yet, and he is already over it, which I don't
I feel
blame
like
him
it almost
because
takes effort to call him the wrong name, though, right? Like Janiel?
I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to
You
play
just saw like a really tall, awkward looking white dude. He's like Mormon looking dude, Janiel. All right, sure. Yeah, I guess that sounds right. Sure. It's not Daniel, Janiel. Yeah, it sounds like a white person name. I just love how Malik Nabers just really does not care, but he should be a little bit out. Can you imagine going from thinking that you're gonna be playing with Herbert, coached by Harbaugh in LA to, hey, New York's still a big market, but definitely not LA. Janiel Dones and Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I mean,
Nice.
the only quarterback that's worse to be playing with is probably Gardner Minshew. So,
You like the swag of him? But anyway, let's just push forward because then we got the embarrassment of riches because Chicago Bears are like, hey, I know we just traded for Keenan Allen. We have DJ Moore, who was a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy last year. And then let's now go get Rome Odunze for Caleb Williams. This is like one of the most unbelievable offenses I think ever seen assembled. Like in Madden, there would be a point where I'm like, all right, I don't need to trade for wide receivers anymore because I don't think that would be fun because I wouldn't know how to get all these guys the ball. But that's a very good problem to have. And that's kind of how Caleb Williams plays, right? He's not someone who hyper targets anyone. He likes to kind of spread it around. And now you have three receivers that looks like that they could win at every single level of the field. That's, dude, I don't even know. I know, I play in a bunch of Madden tournaments. How am I not going to pick the Chicago Bears, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that they are absolutely loaded. They set up Caleb Williams to succeed as they could. I just don't really know how he doesn't, honestly. So I think that he's in a great situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like that kind of takes care of the top three wide receivers. And then that's where it gets really interesting. And then we have the other batch of wide receivers that kind of teetered towards the back of the first round, right? We have Brian Thomas Jr. going to Jacksonville. I think he was kind of the consensus wide receiver four, but going to Jacksonville, was that a surprise for you, Darren?
No, I actually thought that he might have been a look there at 17 for them, and then they traded back, and I was like, oh, maybe they don't like him as much as I thought that they might, but then they still take him at 23 anyway. So I do think that he was probably under consideration there at 17, but they thought that they could get some value there by moving back and still acquire the guy that they wanted.
Definitely trying to accumulate some weapons for Trevor Lawrence, of course. So I feel like no one's ever going to be upset trying to be able to surround him with even more weapons to hopefully lead a more prolific offense over in Jacksonville. Then the next wide receiver is probably something that got people to the edge of their seat, right? Buffalo Bills were on the clock, and then everyone assumed that they were going to probably take a wide receiver here because they obviously got rid of Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs this past offseason. So a lot of people are kind of sitting there. Of course, they got Curtis Samuel, but this is where they make that big impact, right, Darren?
Yeah, they grabbed Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs did. They made a real interesting pick swap there, right? So,
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, right when you think they're about to take someone, they actually move back, then give it to Kansas City, and then Kansas City takes Worthy. And I think that's what gets people so excited because you kind of mentioned that Xavier Worthy kind of is similar to the Marquise Hollywood Brown build, and now they have both of them.
I just don't understand why they're trading with Buffalo when Buffalo just they can't escape their fate there with Buffalo, and they lose to them every year. So to me, it's interesting. But if you really don't think that Xavier Worthy fits with your team, I don't blame them for trading back and getting some extra value. But it's gonna look bad. I already know it's gonna look bad. There's gonna be a
There's going to be
40
like a
some.
play where Xavier Worthy just catches like a
47
35-yard
yard touchdown.
touchdown. Yep. And then everyone's going to be like, well, that was against the Bills and now they're out of the playoffs. And yep, they did this to
I
themselves.
know.
I could totally see that the script writers are already pretty much concluding with this.
Like, if you're the Bills, when they made that trade, when they traded out of the pick that became Patrick Mahomes, obviously it worked out for them. They still got a good quarterback. But if you go up to Buffalo and the
Hey,
fans are
maybe
being honest
Keon
with
Coleman
themselves,
is going to be a baller.
I mean, I think that he would have been best suited as a big slot, and they're going to be using him on the outside. So I know that he was good in college. I'm not 100% sure if he's going to be good in the NFL, but Josh Allen makes his guys
Hold
better.
on. We're talking too much about the Bills. We're not talking about Xavier Worthy or the Chiefs at all.
Yeah, I really like Xavier Worthy. I had him highly ranked before this pick, and now he's going to be going where I think he should have went anyway, in my opinion at least. So I think that he wasn't just a really fast guy, in my opinion. I think he could have did a little, or he can do a little bit more than just that. So I think that he's a good all around receiver, but he is very, 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 very slight. So that is my
Yes.
main concern.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then the next one was also a surprise, which we already talked about, so we don't have to highlight it too much. I was San Francisco going Ricky Pearsall. We already talked about that Deebo Ayuk situation. And then the very last pick of the first round, the Carolina Panthers actually trade up to get Xavier Leggett. Darren, thoughts here?
He is the evolved version of Jonathan Mingo. He is a better version of what they already have. So clearly they like this archetype of player. I think they see a clear role for him. So I think that he could have a pretty good rookie season. It's going to be Leggett, Thielen, and Deontay Johnson there accumulating most of the targets. So if they're using him in the role that he should be used, I do think that he could have a pretty good rookie season. I think he's talented.
He had a really weird profile because he basically did absolutely nothing his entire college career until he was a senior or a fifth year senior, I think. So unusual, but
Not just
normally.
unusual, but like typically with the transfer portal now, you could see anomalies of, someone who didn't do much at one school and then finally
Especially
the
the
fifth
COVID
year
year.
they transfer out and then they have like a huge. This guy stayed at the same exact school, nothing changed, and then all of a sudden he exploded. And I think that's why people are like, all right, this is like the weirdest of weirds. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Xavier Leggett too. If any of you haven't heard any of his press conferences or interviews, do yourself a favor. Listen to this guy's
Sounds like
accent. It's,
Kojo.
oh my goodness, it's wild. Sometimes you do need subtitles because he's like, kind of has a southern accent, but he kind of like slurs it as well. No, I'm not even gonna
Can you
try. Don't
impersonate his
even.
accent for us?
Actually, I might be able to. Oh, man, I would be able to if I just saw a video of him, but I haven't seen it in like a couple days. But he's like, yeah, man, that just rolled out of bed, and then a bed. He like kind of like stumbles over
Actually
his
not
words, but he has
horrible.
like a southern drawl, and so you like have no idea what he's saying unless the subtitles are there. But then once you kind of get accustomed to his dialect, then you pick up. But it's wild, so you could definitely see him becoming a fan favorite. So speaking of fan favorite, let's jump into the second round. That's what we already talked about, Keon Coleman. First pick of the second round. A lot of people kind of expect him to go there. He finally does go there. You said that you liked him more as a big slot guy. Definitely profiles are at least going to be forced to be playing more of that outside role due to his size and due to the need of this team. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to, what that's going to do with his development. But oh boy, this is going to be really, really hard not to get excited about. But who was the second wide receiver to go in the second round and the second pick?
There's little Ladd McConkey. He's one of my personal favorites. Little white guy compared to every wide receiver in the history of the NFL. Even though that a lot of those wide receivers aren't very similar to each other, but whatever, because that's what always happens. I do think that he is a pretty talented receiver, and he's not just going to be pigeonholed into the slot, I don't think. Which is where I think a lot of people are kind of pegging him to be stuck in his NFL career. I do think he would be better maybe in the slot, but I think he has the speed and he has the chops to play outside, which I think he will as well.
What, he's competing with Quentin Johnston and
Virtually
Joshua
nobody.
Palmer, right? That's who he's up against for targets. Am I right or wrong? I feel like Ladd McConkey will be able to get a good amount of the target share there as soon as he walks onto that field. Although it might be a little bit small because they're going to be running it. But I mean, if you have Justin Herbert, you're still going to be throwing it. So I think people might be a little bit surprised. Well, once again, I'm not going to say Justin Herbert's going to be like top 10 in throw attempts. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I feel like they're definitely going to be leading much, much more on the run. But I also feel like Harbaugh knows what he has with Herbert too. So, I feel like it's not going to be the games where Herbert throws the ball 12 times a game and then we call it a day. I feel like there's still going to be a decent amount of the time where they're going to throw it, but better game management, something that the Chargers desperately needed for a while. So let's continue on real quick. Another wide receiver in that second round, Jalen Polk going to the New England Patriots. A little bit surprising on how high he went here, Darren.
Yeah, I thought he was more of like a late second, early third kind of guy. So it was a little high, but I think New England probably sees him as their like possession, easy target kind of guy, which they need because they need everything. They have the husk of Juju Smith-Schuster. They have Pop Douglas, who was, I think, a seventh round pick
Didn't
last
they
year.
just re-sign Kendrick Bourne?
They did. So they have him. Yeah. They basically have a bunch of wide receiver threes and fours on their roster with no,
Which
like,
is
I
funny
think
because a
Polk's.
lot of people are saying Jalen Polk is like a wide receiver three and four. Like that's what he will develop to in the NFL. So you're telling me that the Patriots just got another one of those?
I think so. I think that maybe at best case, he could develop into a wide receiver two, maybe like a Robert Woods kind of guy. But I think that that's probably his ceiling. Like, I don't really expect him to be wide receiver one for an offense, which is, it's fine. You got him in the second round. If you can get Robert Woods in the second round, you'd probably be pretty happy with him.
And now let's talk about the last wide receiver taken in the second round. Going over to the Indianapolis Colts of the 20th pick, it's Adonai Mitchell. Darren, what are your thoughts here? I feel like a lot of people were surprised on how far he fell because some people had him going, what, at the end of the first?
Yeah, they a lot. He was mocked in as high as 17 to the Jaguar in some of the mocks that I saw.
Did you feel
I think it
validated when you
was
said the worst production profile of all times?
a little bit, yeah. I was like, they were right. They were right. The NFL saw that he just did not give a shit at all when he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. Like, he literally just, you might as well just not have him on the field at that point because
Yeah,
the guy
they're
just,
playing with literally 10 people on the field.
the guy just did not care whatsoever if the ball is not coming his way. So I think the NFL saw that as well. And they were like, fuck this guy. So I think that he could definitely develop, and because he has all of the physical tools, like he could
You
develop
just
into a
gotta
really
have to
good
fix it a
receiver.
little bit upstairs.
Yeah, the mental thing, and a lot of shit was attributed to the diabetes because he has diabetes. Like Mark Andrews has diabetes. Like, as long as you maintain that stuff and you're on top of it, like it shouldn't affect him. So that's the least of the concern, I think. But I think the main thing is that he just doesn't give a shit when the ball's not coming to him.
Yeah, he's like the most unengaged person I've ever seen when he's not involved with the play. So we'll see if that changes. Hopefully, it does. Maybe he'll play with a little bit more of a chip. But the final, I guess, skill position play I want to talk about is Ben Sennett, tight end, went right after Adonai Mitchell, tight end. I feel like this is just significant because he was, what, the second tight end taken? And it
Yeah.
was to a team that definitely needs him. So in a tight end premium league, I feel like he definitely goes to a good landing spot. So it should be a lot of fun to kind of see where he goes. Darren, does Jaden Daniels throw the ball to the tight end?
I don't think they have one at LSU, so it's hard to
Yeah, it's kind of hard to
kind of
say if he did
decipher.
or did
Yeah.
not. It could just be depending on the weapons. I mean, if you have the guys that you have at LSU, you're not throwing to the tight end
So
at all.
you just don't want to talk about Jonathan Brooks?
Oh, did I skip right over him? Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Yep. Then the only running back that pretty much got that premium draft capital that you want to see. I mean, we got a couple that went in third, but Jonathan Brooks, first running back off the board, 14th pick in the second round, going over to the Panthers. This is a great, great landing spot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I well, wouldn't say great, but it's good. I think
I
that
mean,
they
who's he up against? He's up against nobodies.
well, he's up against Chuba, who and I he's obviously coming off an injury, and Chuba improved each year of his career, but I do. Chuba's in a contract year, so he's probably gone after this season. Miles Sanders is also gone after this season because
Bro, they just spent a
he's.
second round pick on Jonathan Brooks. I
No,
don't think
no,
they're gonna be like.
no. I think by the end of the year he's going to be the RB1, but he's coming off the injury, so he's going to be ramped up to it. Which I, no matter
As you
where
would
he went,
expect
he
with
would have been.
most rookies, even if he didn't have
Yeah.
the injury, right? You
Yes.
always expect that second half
But
push. You have to be really
my.
special to be
My
impactful the whole year.
main thing of why it's a good and not a great landing spot is mostly because of Bryce Young, because I'm not sure how good that offense is going to be. And to be a great landing spot, you really want those touchdown opportunities. And I'm not sure if there's going to be many.
You don't think he has what it takes to be able to bounce back? You've seen enough. You're like, this is the Josh Rosen. I'm done with it.
I mean, he was horrible. Like, I think he was on par as bad as Josh Rosen. And he's also like 4'5". So,
It's not looking like even his measurables, you're like, man, this is just it's a
yeah.
huge recipe for disaster.
Like, at least
But
Josh Allen or Josh Rosen look like an NFL quarterback.
dude, Jacuzzi Josh could do it all except for maybe
He
hold on to
was
that
the
starting
Rosen one.
position.
He was the
Yeah, he
Rosen
was.
one.
But
Just didn't
that
work out.
kind of, yeah, didn't mean to skip Jonathan Brooks, but maybe your running back hatred has really started to seep in with me, Darren. Maybe I didn't even recognize that. But yeah,
You're
Jonathan
skipping
Brooks
off
was
the
that first
radar.
running back off the board. So that really has to be taken into a factor. Could maybe even go into the first round in the PDL draft. So now let's jump into that third round. Malachi Corley goes first off the board in that third round to the New York Jets. Definitely something to keep an eye on, especially with how the Jets are set up right now, with at least this year pushing forward with Aaron Rodgers right there.
Yeah, they have a good quarterback, obviously. But they
Do they though? Because he wasn't very good that
well,
last year, but he did have that, what, like thumb injury or something like that?
you could make the argument that maybe he is washed. But I think he'll be better than what they had last year at peak.
Yes.
I know that the Jets made a push to trade for Debo last season, So this is kind of poorly with comp to Debo. So this is like what their Walmart version, Walmart brand Debo Samuel is Malachi Corley.
Yeah, I feel like what Robert Saleh is from that 49ers kind of, he was a defensive coordinator with Shanahan, so maybe he's like, maybe we'll try to get a piece like that. So that kind of falls in line there. So the next pick was over to Arizona. Second pick in the third round is Trey Benson, running back. Now this, you could also say, is another really good landing spot because obviously they have James Conner, but Trey Benson, where a lot of
This is what
people's running
I
backs,
would say is a great landing spot because you
great
paired with
landing
a
spot.
good quarterback, also a small midget quarterback, but a good one. I think this could be a situation where there is touchdown opportunities. If anything happens to James Conner, Trey Benson is the RB1. So I do think that there is a chance that in the rookie seasons, at least, Trey Benson is better than Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, I would not be surprised whatsoever. How do you think Welch feels, unfortunately? He just traded for James Conner in that package for a second and third for what? Him, Zach Moss, and Singletary.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say he's pretty bummed out. He's probably hoping that all three weren't going to be affected. He's probably, like we were, the most confident James Conner of the three, but now he's probably the least confident James Conner of the three, if I had to guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just to push and keep this train going, we're looking at the next skill position player off the board in the NFL draft was Jermaine Burton, wide receiver, going to the Cincinnati Bengals, 16th pick in that third round. Definitely interesting because obviously they don't have Tyler Boyd anymore. So maybe in that three wide receiver set, which they did a handful of times, Jermaine Burton may be able to slot into that role, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll probably take over the Tyler Boyd role if he really excels. Maybe he takes over the T. Higgins role next year. But I think he's most likely to be that slot, which some people were probably hoping that it was going to be Yoshi Voss or Charlie Jones, maybe. But I think Burton will probably, because I don't know if you saw, but Zach Taylor was pretty friggin' excited when they got him. So I think that
Oh, yeah.
he's going to be seeing the field at some point this year.
He'll at least get the opportunities to be able to take the job. So I think. I know there are some off-field issues with this guy, but as long as he keeps it all together and just plays on the football field, he should be able to do what it takes. So, Dare, this next one, I'm definitely gonna need some insight. Arizona Cardinals take tight end Tip Reman.
Don't know anything about him. He is
Yeah.
Trey McBride's backup.
Yep. All right. So next, we'll go over to Blake Corum. This one is a big one. The Rams take him 19th pick in the third round. That obviously has big implications because a lot of people, Kyren Williams managed, myself included, were definitely tuned into this draft. So seeing Blake Corum go, definitely a little disappointed, but it is definitely interesting to see because you would make the argument these are like two of the same player, right?
Yeah, to me, this means they just fucking love Kyren Williams because they literally drafted the closest thing to Kyren Williams they could get.
They're
They
like,
were
oh
like,
my God, if he goes down, we could just put in another one.
if he gets hurt, we just got the same dude on the bench. He's just waiting. So I think that they have their succession plan in place, maybe, because running backs don't really get paid anymore. So I think Kyren has 2 years left on his deal, right? So you get 2 years
I
more
feel
of
like the Rams
Kyren,
are never
switch
going
right
to
over to Corum.
pay running backs a second contract
No.
ever again after Gurley. Like, just never
No.
again.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think the Cowboys are the same way. Like, they are just like, I don't want a running back because I don't want to pay a running back. So the Cowboys are like, let's bring back the husk of Zeke. That's what
Which
we're
is
going to
funny
do.
because they're already paying him dead money. So now they just gave him another contract. So now they're paying him even more.
Yeah, so I think that Corum's good enough that he might eat into Kyren's a little bit. Like, he might not be the only guy getting touches this year like he was last year, but I think that he will be the succession plan in a couple years to Kyren Williams.
Yeah, completely agree. I feel like in a few years, Blake Corum is going to be the guy. But if. The McVay offense has shown me anything. They like to have one running back until that running back can't go. So I feel like that's just how the LA is going to roll. But regardless, it's just something to keep an eye on for sure because of where he landed. I feel like it's definitely a decent landing spot because there definitely is going to be a future with Blake Corum with this team. So with that being said, let's talk about another Michigan guy that went. The next pick went over to the Steelers there, Roman Wilson. This one definitely has to be interesting because they just traded Diontae Johnson, and the Steelers have a knack of being able to develop wide receivers.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like their Deontay replacement. They're similar-ish kind of guys. So I think that he's going to probably be their wide receiver two by the end of the season, mostly because they don't really have anybody else. But I think the way that the Steelers draft wide receivers, we can pretty much assume that Romo is going to be good.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the strengths that Deontay Johnson has, this guy has, being able to get some separation. I feel like one thing that a lot of Steelers fans are gonna like is he does not run backwards after he catches the ball like Deontay Johnson did sometimes. So, with all jokes aside, definitely going to be pretty solid in Steelers just because once again they do have a knack of being able to develop those wide receivers. So next we have the Green Bay Packers taking running back Marshawn Lloyd, Mr. Fumble Rooski himself. But when he doesn't fumble, he is dynamic with the ball. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I really like Marshawn Lloyd. He's better than AJ Dillon right off the jump, I think. I think he might be the RB2.
100%.
He might be the RB2 by the time the season
Dude, he
starts.
walks on the field better than AJ Dillon.
So he's not better than Josh Jacobs, but Josh Jacobs really, his contract is kind of like year to year. So maybe if Josh Jacobs doesn't have a bounce back season, maybe they just move on and move to Marshawn Lloyd. I don't really think that's likely, but it's possible. But I think Marshawn Lloyd's he's good, and he's going to supplant AJ Dillon there at the very least.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm just going to wrap these two together. Tampa Bay then takes Jaylen McMillan, and Washington surprisingly takes Luke McCaffrey as a third-round pick. I don't want to overshadow Jaylen McMillan. I'll go into Tampa Bay. Definitely he's going to have his opportunities there. But Luke McCaffrey, I feel like going to Washington as a third-round pick, I feel like that is probably the big one of the bigger surprises as well in the draft.
Yeah, I was not expecting him to be a day two pick. I think maybe he could grow into third slot, I guess, but I don't know. Like, to me, I was like not really impressed with him. I think maybe his last name helped him a bit there. So,
I
it
100%
happens.
think that his last name helped him because he is like a new wide receiver. He played quarterback for a while, obviously didn't find
Yeah.
that much success in that position. I think he played at like Rice or something like that, and then he changed over to wide receiver, obviously dynamic with the ball and stuff like that, but you know, he's still very raw. And although he's athletic, I mean, there are other players that are just a better receiver than him, but to see him go this early, you know, I don't want to say he's bad or anything like that, but I think his last thing definitely gave him a push. But regardless, he's still a third round pick, so that's pretty good
Yeah,
draft
something.
capital
It
when it's
means.
all said and dead or done.
Yeah.
Yeah, top 100
Yeah, it means something.
for sure. So this next round, we're gonna go a little bit quicker. We're not gonna have to talk about every single skill position player this time. Don't worry, we went ahead and kind of paid a little bit more attention. But the first pick in the fourth round, the Carolina Panthers get tight end Jatavion Sanders, what probably one of the more athletic tight ends in this draft, right?
Yeah, it's the guy that I thought was probably going to be the tight end two. He goes as the tight end four. It's a good spot, I think. Carolina, they don't really have a tight end that can compete with them, so he's probably their week one starter.
Absolutely. Just another playmaker for short Bryce Young. Hopefully he'll be able to put it
Sign
together.
with big
Definitely.
guys.
Yeah, they're trying to surround him, make him feel a little bit better. Just be like, hey, just get on their shoulders, buddy.
Legs are
Then,
even shorter.
exactly. Then that next pick, we already talked about Troy Franklin going over to Denver, being reunited with Bo Nix. I feel like that's definitely going to be fun. He definitely dropped a lot more than a lot of people thought, but we won't need to provide too much more coverage with this one. But next there, I'm just going to read off the ones that you have bolded, and then we can maybe talk about any ones that we didn't talk about yet. But Jalen Wright going over to Miami, probably one of the most Miami picks, right?
Amazing landing spot for him. He fits perfectly there. He is going to
Could be
definitely be the
the
Mostert
next Mostert
replacement.
role,
Yep,
right? Yeah, they're still
100%.
gonna break it up, and I feel like this just has Miami written all over it. They just look, they're like, all right,
Yep.
who's the fastest running back? All right, we're just gonna get him. Fourth round, sure, yeah, let's just pick it up then. He's still on the board, that's great. So I feel like this is definitely going to get that Miami effect. So I'm interested to see where Jalen Wright goes because obviously we know that Brian is a huge Miami fan. So would we be surprised Jalen Wright goes a lot higher than all of us expect? I mean, I would not, but that's just something to keep an eye on. The next running back you have on here is, ooh, another good one. Bucky Irving going over to Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 25th pick of the fourth round. Definitely something to talk about because they pretty much only had Rashad White, right?
Yeah, and he's going to be better than anything that they had as a backup last year. Talked about it before that Bucky Irving was extremely unathletic when he tested at the combine, but his skill set overlaps with Rashad White quite a bit. So I'm thinking maybe he's into that a little bit there, at the very
Kind of
least for next
similar
year.
to like what you saw with Kyren and what Blake Corum has, and then they kind of
Yes.
saw Rashad White. They're like, all right, Bucky Irving, he's another
Yeah.
guy. If anything were to happen to Rashad, or if Rashad needs a breather, we'll throw another guy in there that could kind of do it all, similar to what Rashad White can do.
Yeah, so I think that he could have a role. It's not going to be a large one. Definitely wouldn't expect too much there, but I do think that he could have a little bit of a role there in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all that being said there's probably just a few more guys maybe off the top that I'll bring up. Braylon Allen felt a lot more than a lot of people thought. He was pretty much at the end of the fourth round. The Jets picked him up. Were you surprised to see him fall so much, a Wisconsin running back?
I was. I did think he was going to fall because of the way that his draft process was going. I thought when he initially declared, he declared very early. So I was like, oh, he's probably getting word that he's going to go in the second round. Like, because he's so young and he left school early. I was like, he's probably getting some pretty good intel. And then as it went on, I was like, oh shit, he's maybe going to be a third round pick. And then he went
Dude,
into the
like
fourth.
guys like Isaac Arendo, Sione
Yeah.
Vaki, like all these guys went before him. These are running backs.
Yeah, I don't really think that he had the best of landing spots there. He's stuck behind Breece Hall, who's also young. I just don't really think that it's going to be good for him there.
Yeah, can't look that great there. This is also where we said San Francisco picked up another wide receiver, Jacob Cowing, end of the fourth round. Once again, I'm not saying it's the best draft capital, but still a fourth round pick. Maybe foreshadowing, maybe something happening there with some of the movement. Are there any other th Oh, DeVontaze Walker going to Baltimore is kind of interesting, right? Fourth
I think
round,
so.
13th pick. That's
Yeah,
definitely
I think
something to
so.
keep an eye on. I feel like obviously Odell not returning back over there. They definitely need more pass catchers. DeVontaze Walker, what are your thoughts on this landing spot and the player overall?
I think it's a good landing spot. And if they can't get anything out of Rashad Bateman yet again, then maybe it becomes a great landing spot. So I think that he could eventually take over that role as a wide receiver, too. I think that Zay Flowers probably has the wide receiver one role locked up now, but he's got some skills to him. I kind of expected this where he was going to go though, like third or fourth round. Like I didn't think he was going to push to make a second round pick or anything like that. So he kind of like went where I expected. So I think it worked out okay for him.
Yeah. Just to wrap things up, obviously, we're pretty much at the end of the fourth. There's still a handful of guys we didn't mention that were taking the fourth, but we don't want this episode to be a billion hours long. Now we're just kind of looking at the remaining players. I think the only other player that I thought was worth mentioning was Spencer Rattler, mostly because in the top 12 picks, it was historic. It was the most quarterbacks ever taken in the top 12, and then it was the longest drought with another quarterback not taken until what? The 15th pick in the fifth round, the New Orleans Saints take Spencer Rattler. I think this is interesting only because I feel like Carr is really only secure in his position because of the money. But we've seen time and time again where that is not the strongest indication of keeping your job, especially if you also lose a locker room, which I feel like at times Derek Carr have shown he could probably do, unfortunately. And Spencer Rattler could also be the guy that shakes the cage enough. So what if, Carr gets a concussion only that leaves him out only for, a quarter or so. And Spencer Rattler comes in, he might not win the game, but he might just be playing a more exciting brand of football where the fans start demanding him. That's all I'm saying. I feel like there's just that opportunity. And once again, this being a quarterback driven league, I guess it wouldn't be difficult to mention also Jordan Travis, who was also taken in the fifth round, pretty much towards the end, going over to the Jets. Definitely interesting just because right now they do have Aaron Rodgers, Achilles tear, we don't know how much longer he's going to be there. I'm not saying that Jordan Travis is going to be the succession plan, but who knows? Maybe if Rodgers does get hurt this year, Jordan Travis, with the style of play that he has, might have some dynasty value. Are there any other players I didn't bring up yet that you wanted to mention, Dan, or maybe any additional comments on the players I did mention?
Javon Baker, maybe, because he was drafted in a spot which was going to be opportunity for him. Eric All, another Cincinnati tight end. We can't not mention Will Shipley, the I think the only offensive skill player that the Eagles drafted. We can't not mention him, right? So
I mean, I try not to
I'm
be
just
biased. I'm glad you brought him up.
praying that he supplants Kenny Gainwell and I never have to see Kenny Gainwell ever again in my life because I
What if he just
hate him.
becomes Kenny Gainwell and we're gonna be like, God damn it.
I don't think I will dislike him as much as I dislike Kenny Gainwell because
Why do
I
you hate
don't think
Kenny Gainwell so much?
because they put Kenny Gainwell on the field when DeAndre Swift should have been on the field, and that irked the shit out of me.
And he could just never recover from that.
There's no way he could ever recover from that. And I don't think that they'll put Will Shipley on the field in situations where Saquon should be on the field. So I don't think I can come to the point where I dislike Will Shipley as much as Kenny Gainwell. But I do hope
One.
that he supplants Kenny Gainwell.
Yeah, I feel like it's not going to take much, but for whatever reason, the Eagles have some type of loyalty to him, but I'm hoping that ends soon. Now let's roll into the very first PDL mock draft 1.0. I'm sure. How many mock drafts do we normally do, Dare? I don't
I think
think
we
there's a.
normally do two. If
Do
we
we
have
do?
time, we normally do two.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Like, so this is the very first draft, and then usually we do one like right before the
Yeah,
PDL draft,
day
and that
before if
one.
we can.
Yeah, and then that's when we
Yeah.
try to guess it a little bit better. But yeah, so here's your first version. So I feel like a lot of people are probably excited. So let's kick it off there. You're gonna do the odds. I'm gonna do the evens. We did it strategically this way because you hold all the even, or not all the even, but all your picks are even numbered. So then I get to cover those, so you don't have to
Yeah.
cover your own. So with that being said, you have the easiest task. 101, the Boulder Bears and Tanish select.
Caleb Williams.
Absolute shocker right there. You're
I
floored.
know. I just when this drops, we're just none of us are going to be able to believe what happened. We're just going to be so shocked.
But to be fair, I feel like mine is also pretty easy because mine is at 102,
Yeah.
Greggy and the Austrian Oaks take Marvin Harrison Jr. So I
Yeah.
know we didn't cover the Caleb Williams thing, so we'll talk about these two in a bunch because we don't expect these two to really change between 1.0 and 2.0, right?
No, I don't at all. I think they are probably the consensus one and two picks in every single rookie draft in America. I think they are easy picks to make. I don't think that there's is anyone else in this discussion really for me. I think that they should 100% be the first and second picks.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams is locked in number one. That's why Tanish made that trade. He's already like fantasizing about Caleb Williams playing for his team. And for Greg, he already has two quarterbacks locked in, so he could really go BPA, which a lot of people, some people might even put Marvin Harrison Jr. above Caleb Williams in some super flex, rookie drafts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like because of that, that's just going to be such an easy pick for Greg. And man, is that going to be able to help out that roster and really start escalating it? Because this team was absolutely burnt down to the nubs because how hard he had to really strip it down and tank. And now it's really starting to fill up with really promising names. So now this is where it starts to get interesting. At 103, we have the Dallas Drip and Welch, right?
Yeah, and I think there's two players that he would be under consideration here, Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels. But because of the aforementioned little man Bryce Young and his struggles and Kirk Cousins, they're already drafting his replacement before they even played a game. I think that he will go quarterback here and go Jaden Daniels to shore up and make sure that in a super flex league, he has no concerns and he can plug in Jaden Daniels, who could be the best quarterback from this draft class as his quarterback two behind Trevor Lawrence.
Especially with his profile, he could be that cheat code that you're looking for. I mean, he just won the
Yeah.
Heisman
He
his
ran
rookie
for
year.
1,100 yards last year.
Yeah, absolutely dynamic. So I think you could almost, I don't want to say lock this in, but I would be surprised. I thought when you said it would be between two guys, I thought you were going to say between Jaden Daniels and maybe Drake May. But because of just the fact that we're playing fantasy football, I think Jaden Daniels is probably the pick there, so I definitely agree. So then that would put Tanish and the Bull DeBears back on the clock at 104. And is there any more of a Tanish pick than him going wide receiver, right? Because that's like his
Absolutely
favorite
not.
Thing to do. So with the board shaking up the way that it does, I mean, I'm sure he would love to have an opportunity to go get Jane Daniels, but I think he is just going to be very tempted to go Malik Nabers here. So, Darren, I don't think you're really going to fight me on this with me thinking that Tanish probably go Malik Nabers.
No, I think it's the guy that he wants. And he got a good enough landing spot that not
he can kind of validate it, right?
Yes, I think
he's like,
can...
it's not my fault I'm taking Malik Nabers,
like,
even though that's
a logical decision. I kind of agree with. Like, I would probably go Malik Nabers here too if I was in his shoes. So I think that we'll get a Malik Nabers, he'll get the guy he wanted after all, and no one will be like, wow, what a reach, because we'll just be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we got good old
this is where I think
Servas on the clock. Yeah, I agree. This is where it starts to get interesting. So Southern Oregon Smoke on the clock, and who do you think Mike will take here?
So because of his affinity for wide receivers, I think that he will go with Roma Dunze, but there is probably a strong consideration there for him at quarterback because he only had Will Levis and Josh Allen on his roster.
That's why I was so surprised when you put Roma Dunze, but I'm also kind of not, because it is Mike we're talking about here. So I like the fact that you did factor in who has this selection, not just going purely based on, all right, this is what the consensus says. Because then that point, we're just looking at the ADP of sleeper, right? Then what's the point of doing a PDL mock draft? So I do like this little curveball that you've thrown in here, but I think I would be surprised if he goes to Dunze here. I was expecting Drake May.
My logic behind this was that he does also have 107. So if he's not in love with either Drake May or JJ McCarthy, you know, I mean, it could be Bo Nix, I guess, but I would highly doubt that. I don't think he's in discussion with those other two. But I think that if he does not love one, he'll just be like, I'll take whichever one is there at 107, and he'll take Roma Dunze.
Yeah, let me take the clearly one of the best three receivers in this draft, and let me just take one of the two remaining of these quarterbacks. That makes absolute sense, because what I chose for Greggy, who has a six pick, the Austrian Oaks, back on the clock, I did say that Greggy has his quarterback room locked up, but I feel like Greg is also smart, and the value of Drake May just sitting here, in my opinion, is just too strong. And so that's the selection. I think if this is how the board falls, I think Greg will take Drake May here.
Yeah, and then with that being said, I think that Mike will go with the other quarterback remaining and take JJ McCarthy to shore up his quarterback room, because he can't really rely on Will Levis, in my opinion. I know that they kind of surround him with everything to succeed, but he still might fail. So I think he has to go quarterback.
So this is unfortunate for you, Nair, because now you're on the clock at 108. I think this is one of the worst case scenarios for you, because if I were you, I would be hoping to land one of the quarterbacks that just all went. And unfortunately, they pretty much all went. You still have the possibility for Bo Nix, and that is someone who I had in consideration here, but I think I'm just going to throw in Mr. Brock Bowers. Just skill position player, I feel like. BPA, that's just the way that you roll. That's someone that I am going to be able to put down on here, 108. You know, you do have the deepest tight end room that there is, but like I said, I'm just going for tight end premium. If Brock Bowers really does hit, and I know that's such a rare thing, rookie tight ends, but if he does hit, because I'm projecting him more like that playmaking, you know, slot receiver kind of like player that everyone kind of was projecting onto Kyle Pitts, but like, Kyle Pitts was a little bit of like that projection unicorn, because he didn't really do that at Florida. Like, he had a pretty good year, but that's But ever since Brock Bowers stepped on the field as a college footballer, he was clearly the best, not just tight end, but just like football player in general a lot of the times when he was on the field. So I'm not saying that's going to be the impact he makes in the NFL, because obviously now he's playing with, you know, NFL adults. But I feel like if he can still make that, the little edge that I feel like a lot of people aren't looking into, as this is a tight end premium league. And if Brock Bowers can get some of those extra targets, let's say he just gets on average 4 to 6 catches a game, that's 4 to 6 points on top of everything else that he does, because it's a premium league. I think you already have that foresight. You're usually ahead of the curve, Brock Bowers. I know that was a long tangent, but that's because it's your pick. I'm locking it in.
Yeah, I mean, and if I do secure Brock Bowers there, there will be no discussion with Max of who has the number one tight end room in the PDL. It would surely be me after
I think so, actually, with what you
that.
have been able to accumulate,
I
right?
mean, if I have Brock Bowers, TJ Hawkinson, George Kittle, and David Njoku, I don't think that there is much of a discussion.
There's no fucking discussion. You know, now that you read through your tight end room, now you're making me second guess everything and saying, you know what, I probably should just put in Bo Nix here. But hey, that's why it's a 1.0. I'm not going for accuracy right now. This is just vibes on how we feel after, you know, just a handful of days after the NFL draft. So with that being said, now we have Greggy on the clock again at 109 Australian Oaks. Who do you think they take?
So now I'm not sure if Greg really likes Xavier Worthy because he's very small, and I don't really see that being Greg's kind of guy. But I just think that the landing spot is too good to pass up with the guys remaining here. Now he could go Bo Nix because he does have a need at quarterback three. He does have two obviously good starting quarterbacks
But
with Herbert
I
and
took
Burrow.
Drake May with his pick earlier.
Oh, yeah, right. So then he doesn't need that. So I take that back. He will not go Bo Nix, but maybe I know that he has an affinity for Ladd McConkey. So maybe he's considering Ladd McConkey here, but maybe it's quite too early. But he could also get that stack with Justin Herbert. But I do think he will ultimately go Xavier Worthy here, or possibly maybe hope to trade out of this pick because he is not smitten with Xavier Worthy. But I do think that that's what I'm going to give him here is Xavier Worthy.
Okay. Yeah, no, I could definitely see that happening. Now we got the Hollywood Hustle on the clock. And this is by far the absolute biggest wild card of the entire PDL draft. Of all, like always, right? When we get to
Yeah, as
Brian,
always.
I absolutely have no idea. And it's because he doesn't really follow a consensus board because he has his own big board, which he's very proud to have put together. So I don't know what is on there. So at first I was like, should I go absolutely wild? And we were talking what Michael Penix, right? We're talking Michael Penix here for the longest time. And then we talked or I talked myself out of that. I was like, no, I don't know. I don't know if Brian will do that. So, you know, maybe I'm going to stay for, I'm just going to put Jonathan Brooks, just a team need. First running back off the board, could obviously get into the first round of the PDL draft. I can't imagine a PDL first round with absolutely no running back off the board. So this is kind of placeholder, probably one that's most likely to change into the 2.0, maybe similar to how you feel with Greg's pick at 109, Xavier Worthy. I feel that way for Brian's pick here with Jonathan Brooks. Definitely could change, but that's who I have in right now. What are your
Yeah,
thoughts
that
though?
which I think that makes sense. He is the highest drafted running back. He is most people's pre-draft, even with the injury, who's most people's RB1. I think that it would shore up his running back room. It would give him Bijan, Brooks, Pollard, and Warren from Pittsburgh. So I do think that it makes a lot of sense here for the hustle, especially because he always wants to win. He needs another running back, in my opinion. So I think it does make a lot of sense if he was to go Brooks. But for all we know, it could be Michael Penix. And he's like, you know, I see it. I see it in him. And I don't care if I have to wait for 2 years. He's going to be a superstar.
Yep, could be similar to the how the whole Jordan Love thing happened, right? And so with that being said, we're slowly getting towards the end now. At 111, the Boulder Bears and Tanish is on the clock yet again. And who do you have him selecting?
I don't think Bo Nix makes it past this pick. I think that Tanish is a Broncos fan. He is has a very desperate quarterback need, as we've already addressed multiple times. I do not think that Bo Nix makes it past this pick. Sean Payton clearly loves him. I'm not sure if Tanish does, but I think he will grow on him. So he is going to go with Bo Nix here.
And would it be worse for Tanish if he decides to skip on Bo Nix here and he actually does become something and now the team that he likes hit on a quarterback and he decided to skip on him even though he could
Yes.
have taken him?
Yes, he would be miserable for the next 10 years of his life. Or he would have to pay t 10 times as much to acquire him because people are going to know whoever gets him, which could be me, the very next pick. If I get him, I'll be like,
Dude, I
Give me
want
three firsts.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. I want Caleb Williams. I want all these different guys.
You're paying a premium because I know you like them. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a light tax. That's fair. But yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. Bo Nix, I mean, I feel like Bo Nix making all the way to the end of the first could even be a surprise. I feel like it wouldn't be a surprise for him to go earlier. So once again, that could be something that we keep an eye on, could be something that changes in that next 2.0 mock draft. So finally, I'm going to wrap it all up. Carolina Thunders, Darren, you have the last pick of the first round. And I have good old Ladd McConkey going over here. You know, teaming up with Harbaugh, run-centric offense, like we said. We already talked about it when we talked about the breakdown, so we don't have to dive in too much. But I feel like Ladd McConkey is the apple of many, many people's eyes. So I feel like he's just gonna. This is just the right spot for him, sneaking into the back of the first of a dynasty startup. I feel like, or not startup, sorry, dynasty rookie draft. I feel like that kind of makes sense. So let me just read it in order, Darren. I would love for just kind of what your reaction over, kind of top of your head. 101, we have Caleb Williams. Then we have Greg in the Austrian Oaks taking Marvin Harrison Jr., followed by Welch taking Jaden Daniels. Then Tanish back on the clock taking Malik Nabers. Servas taking Roma Dunze. Greggy taking Drake May. Servas on the clock again taking JJ McCarthy. Darren, you're taking Mr. Brock Bowers. Greggy yet again taking Xavier Worthy. I know you said you weren't too confident in that. Then we got Hollywood Hustle, the absolute wild card, taking Jonathan Brooks, addressing a running back need. Then we got the Homer and Tanish on the clock again and saying, you know what, Bo Nix, you are now mine. And Darren, you finish off that first round with Ladd McConkey. What are your thoughts here?
So I think the guys that we left off, Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall, Adonai Mitchell, Trey Benson, Michael Penix, Brian Thomas Jr., I think they could all probably find their way, at least one or two of them find their way into the next mock or the real first round of the PDL draft. I think that this is probably pretty close to how it turns out, though. I think that even though it's only the first one, we're still 2.5 weeks out. I do think it pretty much looks like this once the draft actually happens.
Yeah, I think we got some of the players wrong because, like I said, this was just purely on vibes. We literally made the show doc and we literally took turns in the span of 2 minutes trying
Yeah.
to put this mock together. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, that works. Oh shit, yeah. Now look at it, I was like, shit, yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. should probably be in here somewhere, right? That would probably make more sense. But I still think for our very first time, just going off straight vibes and just kind of thinking of team needs off the top of our head, I'm pretty proud of ourselves. I feel like it's pretty good, but I'm going to be a lot more confident with 2.0 because, you know, that gives, you know, the other owners a little bit more time to marinate and, you know, smoke screed, show their hand, whatever it may be. But I think another thing we're not really addressing is the elephant in the room. Do you think that there are going to be some movement in the first round during the PDL draft?
I don't know. I don't know if there, because I know there already was. I don't know if there's going to be any more.
I think there was
Because,
at least some movement every single year during the draft, right? Or no?
yeah, I guess it's possible if somebody falls like a pick or two below where they think that they're going to fall. I guess it's possible. It could happen.
Or even
I
like what
wouldn't
you
say
said,
never.
how Greg would be, I think you said at 109, he would be looking to trade back. So someone's like, hey, I'll give you these 2 second-round picks and maybe a third for that one first. And he'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
I could see that. I can see him trading out of that pick because I think that there is a chance that at nine there's nobody he's really in love with, and he's be looking even if it's only to 202 or 203, like trade back a little bit.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that as well. Yeah, I have the same thoughts as you. I feel like we definitely got close. Definitely not super confident in it, but definitely a step in the right direction. I'm excited for us to kind of be able to dive in a little bit deeper. But yeah, that kind of wraps it all up. That was the NFL draft recap, including a little PDL mock draft. This is kind of a doozy of an episode, just kind of dropping it on the listeners like that. But on the roadmap, we are going to finish off the team breakdown shortly, and then we're going to be doing, you know, the consensus top positions of each what quarterback, running back, wide receivers, tight end. I feel like we do top 10 for all of them except wide receivers. We do a little bit more. I think we do like 12 or 15. That's always fun to do. We just started doing that last year. So I'll send out those polls after we finish wrapping up the team breakdowns. But overall, dude, PDL draft, it's going to be here sooner than we know it, right, Darren?
I mean, as we get older, the days go by faster and faster. So I know it's 17 days away, but those 17 days will you'll blink and it'll be over.
Yeah, it's going to be here real quick. And then the slow draft will go, and then everyone's going to start complaining. So I'm excited for that. But until
Yes, as
then,
soon as it
guys.
starts, Tanish will take 5 minutes and everyone will be like, "What the fuck, man? Where is
Don't
he?"
we don't have to kill him? He's going to be like, oh, dude, sorry.
At
I'm
least
somewhere
Greg
where it
will
doesn't
be in
have good
America.
Wi-Fi. That's true. That's true. Maybe Greg will be the one that's harassing everyone to pick up the
He might
pace.
be because normally it's like that time where it's like the West Coast is asleep and now Greg is asleep, so then we're waiting for like 12 hours for the next pick to happen. But I think now maybe we'll avoid some of that at least.
How long do you think this draft will take, honestly?
Well, I mean, Steve doesn't have any picks this year, so I think it might go by pretty quickly.
But Mike has a handful of picks.
Mike was pretty good last year. It was Steve that.
Actually, yeah, Mike was really, really good last year. Now that I think about it. Yeah, Steve was. Woo! Yeah, actually, the fact that Steve doesn't have any, I think that bodes really, really well for us. But we'll talk about all that stuff in a future episode. So let's wrap this one up. So until next time, guys, take care. All right, now that's a wrap for this episode of the PDL Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
See you guys on the next one.